As soon as he asked me, a verse popped in my mind. And so I'm going to talk about God's goodness and how good God has been. And little did I know that every song tonight was going to hit on that. And I was just sitting there thinking about God sitting on his throne. I couldn't even sing the song. Man. It's, God's good. Be turning in your Bibles to Psalms 34. I'm going to try to be brief. Pastor told me I had to. He told me he wanted me to give a testimony and update the church on what's been going on in our lives, how God's blessed us, what's going on right now. Lots happened. And then also to share something from the Bible. And I don't know about y'all, but that's going to be a lot to get in 15 minutes. Which is what I was told, but I'm going to try, okay? In the meantime, while you're turning, I want to give you a few things. Let you know about what's been going on, what the chaplaincy looks like for us. I don't want to give too many back details that I've already shared. The church did a launch-out video at the beginning of the year, and a lot of our details of our story are on that video. If you hadn't seen that, you can go back and watch it and kind of catch you up to where we're at right now. But me and Autumn have had a lot of people asking us a lot of questions about the chaplaincy. What does that look like? What does that mean? We don't know too many chaplains in the military, so I want to just take a minute just to share with you a little bit what we're going to be doing. An Army chaplain is a representative of his or her faith tradition, okay? And what I mean by that, you have to pick an endorsing agency through the Department of Defense. And the endorsing agency that I picked is someone who believes like we do. They doctrinally believe the same things we believe. And that's the standard that I'm going to be held to. The chaplaincy is not something where you participate in services with everybody of all different religions. It's not something like that. It's very specific to what you believe. The Army basically has hired me to be an independent Baptist chaplain. And that's the standard I'm held to. Now, one of the things that I am expected to do is help protect religious liberty. And even if that is for people that are from different religious beliefs than what we would believe. But I do think that's important because if their freedoms to practice their religion aren't protected, then neither are ours. And so I think that's important, you know, that we have freedom of religion. One of the main things that I'm going to be doing is one-on-one counseling with soldiers, small group Bible studies. And depending on where I get stationed at will determine how much preaching I would do. If it's a larger base, I probably wouldn't be doing as much preaching. But on the smaller installations, I would have more opportunity there. As I would move up in rank, then I'll have more opportunities to preach. So it all depends on where I end up there. You know, the U.S. military is a very closed-door mission field. You can't just say, hey, I think I'll go to Fort Bragg today and drive up on Fort Bragg and I'll just go door-to-door visitation today. If you don't believe me, you can try that. It's probably not going to work out very well for you when you try to drive through that gate. You'll probably find yourself in a pair of handcuffs. It's a very unique opportunity that the Lord's given me, and I'm very excited about it. A lot of people in the military are hurting, and they really need some help. And I'm going to have a unique opportunity to be right there with them day in and day out and be able to share the Lord with them when they ask for it. Just a couple updates about what's been going on in our life. Of course, the church ordained me to the ministry back in March the 8th. On March the 9th, our son Barrett was born, and he's very healthy. If you hadn't seen him, he has not missed any meals or snacks or anything like that. He's growing and very healthy. We're thankful for that. I was able to finish up my master's degree the first part of May. I was supposed to leave for some training May 13th. And that got canceled because of the COVID virus. Then they told me I was going to leave June the 2nd. That got canceled. Then I was supposed to leave this Tuesday. That's not going to happen either. I found out I got picked up for active duty, which was what we were praying for. That's what we felt like the Lord wanted for us. And about 3 hours after I got that phone call, I got an email and told me my slot in training had been revoked. The reserves did not want to pay for that since I was not going to stay in the reserve, so they're letting the active duty take that. Hopefully we'll be leaving this fall. That's what we're hoping for, praying for, but if not, it will be in the wintertime sometime next year. Hopefully this week we're going to find out where they're going to station me. And so if y'all be in prayer for that, we're excited what God's got for us, where He's going to put us. So be in prayer for that. And I just want to thank you, church, for your love and support for us. It's been a busy couple years, and it's been tough. We've had a lot of changes in our life, and you've been very supportive, and you've loved us, and we don't take that lightly. I don't think I've been to church in the past 2 years where somebody didn't either tell me they were praying for me, ask me how I was doing, ask me what was going on, and I want to thank you for that. And I want to thank our pastor. He has been more than supportive, and I can't thank him enough. And I want you to know just how much he's helped me to get where I am today in this process. So thank you, church, for that. You should be in Psalms chapter number 34. And like I said, when I was talking with Pastor on Thursday, this verse instantly popped in my mind, one of these verses. I just want to talk to us tonight about God's goodness. And I think a lot of times we don't spend enough time dwelling on just how good God is to us. I think we lose sight of that. We allow things to get in our mind. We allow ourselves to get distracted by what's going on. And we just don't dwell on how good God is enough. And in this passage, we're going to look at how good God was in the life of David at a particular moment in his life. You know, David is, to me, one of my favorite Bible characters. He's a manly man, and I like tough guys. Just something about a tough guy that I like. And I would say David, he's just bad to the bone. I don't know if I should use that kind of the wording, but I mean, he is. It doesn't get any tougher than David. How many people do you know that's killed a lion and a bear? And I'm not talking about with a gun. I'm talking about went head to head with a lion. Let me tell you, we went to South Africa last summer on a missions trip, and on my birthday, I got to go on a nighttime safari, one of the highlights of my life. And we were on this bus. We find a herd of lions, and we are from here to about the piano away from a couple lions. And I'm thinking, okay, this is a solid steel wall here, this lion, he can't get through it, I'm safe. But we're just sitting there, and all of a sudden that lion, he's kind of laying on his side, and he starts to roll over, and kind of slowly he's getting his feet up underneath him, and he's looking right at me. And I just kind of reach down to touch this solid steel, what I would think 4-inch plate that's protecting me. And when I touched it, that's not steel. That's cloth. And I told Autumn, I said, scoot over. I said, this is cloth. And that lion is looking at me. And David was a tough guy. I think about when he stood before the giant Goliath, and I don't know about y'all, but I think I'd have been a little bit intimidated, but he wasn't. He was a tough guy in that situation. When I was thinking about this, my mind went back a couple years to one night I walked into the flags a little low. I walked into the front doors of the church, and I saw the four Siegel boys standing over here on the side. And they had been training in Muay Thai and fighting and stuff, so I always talk a little junk to them, even though I knew at least the three older ones could beat me up. But little Caleb at the time was probably about 7 or 8 years old, and I walked in, and I looked over at him, and I gave him a little look, because I knew I could pick on him. He's little. And he's standing there like this, and he went. And I went, me? No at all. And I was a little intimidated. But, you know, I thought, man, that's a tough guy right there. I'm not going to mess. I don't care if he's 7 years old or not, but I'm not going to mess with him. But I think David had that attitude. He didn't care how big Goliath was. But I just want to look at three things here tonight. I'm going to try to hurry, get to the end is where I really want you to see what God showed me First thing I want to look at is David's praise. Look in Psalms 34:1. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Yes.
When I read this verse, I couldn't help but to begin to think of the many ways that God has been good in my life. He saved me. And if that was it, that's good enough. He saved me. He's given me a good family. I don't know if y'all see my family, but man, I am blessed with a good family. I just want to share a couple stories about how good God has been in the last couple years. Back before the Spring Jubilee in 2018, I thought I was going to get promoted with the Highway Patrol. I made the promotional list my first time taking the test, and I thought, yeah, I'm going to get promoted here. And my realtor calls me up, and he says, hey, man, I know your house isn't up for sale, but I got somebody that wants to look at it. I said, okay. I said, I guess that means I'm getting promoted. God's selling my house before I even get the phone call. So we conned my in-laws into letting us move into their basement. We sold our house within 3 weeks, and we moved into my in-laws' basement. And we thought we were only going to be there a month or two. And we ended up being there 2 years. And, 2 years. Ron's sitting there going, yes, it's 2 years. But you know, God knew what I needed before I even got there. And he allowed us to make enough money on our house that when we found out God was calling us into the ministry and I was going to have to get a master's degree, I just had finished my bachelor's degree. Now I got to pay for a master's degree. And God went ahead and allowed us to make enough money off of that house that we got enough money already to pay for this master's degree. Now, about a year into that thing, I started looking at my money, and I'm a little bit tight with my money, if you didn't know that about me, but I don't really like to give that stuff away. And I started looking, and I thought, man, I'm getting a discount. They're giving me a discount because I'm a state trooper, but this is going to be tight. I think I'm going to have enough to make it to the end. And about this time, I knew it was time for me to resign from the Highway Patrol, and I thought, well, I'm going to be losing my discount for being in law enforcement, but I've just joined the reserve, so I'll get the military discount. So I thought it's just going to be an even swap, and thank the Lord that I'm still going to get my discount. Well, I called the lady up, and I thought, well, I need to be honest and let them know I resigned, so they're not giving me that discount. And I called her up. And she said, I told her what was going on. She said, well, just to be honest with you, I think you still get that discount for another 5 years. And I thought, there's another time, God, that you've been good to me.
Amen.
I thought it was going to be tight, but man, you're giving me a double discount on my college tuition. This will be the last story I tell you here. When God first called me into the ministry, I was really struggling. See, I used to get a free cup of coffee every morning. I would work, and I'd also get another free cup of coffee before I'd go home. And before I knew God wanted me to be a chaplain, I just thought I was going to be in the ministry. And I thought, well, God, or the devil was placing these thoughts in my mind. You're not going to make any money. You're not going to be able to afford good coffee anymore. You're not going to be able to take your wife out to eat. And I know that sounds silly, but when you've got 2 to 3 free cups of coffee a day for like 5 years, it could be something that could weigh on your mind. And especially you coffee drinkers, you know what I'm talking about. And I had to go to Raleigh one day for work, and I was coming back, and I thought, well, I'm going to swing in and get me a cup of coffee. And at this particular coffee shop, I was going to have to pay, and I was fine with that. And so I ordered my cup of coffee, and I stuck my card up to hand the lady to pay for my coffee. And she said, the lady in front of you paid for your coffee. She just wanted to be a blessing to you. And I had to grab that cup of coffee and pull off as fast as I could because I was busting out in tears. And I said, God, thank you. And it was like God just told me, he said, if you do what I ask you, I'm going to take care of your cup of coffee. And I thought, well, how good God was. And that's one of the most powerful lessons God taught me.
Yes.
About how good he is to me. He's good in the little things. He's good in the big things.
Amen.
And I want to always praise Him for His goodness in my life. When was the last time you praised God for how good He's been in your life? The next thing I want us to see is David's plight. David writes this psalm after he's been before King Achish. To get the backstory, I don't have enough time to go into it. You'd have to turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 21 to get this story. But David's running from Saul and he flees to a Philistine city called Gath. And, you know, David, being the man who he was and as many Philistines as he had killed, this probably wasn't a good place for him to be, okay? But he must have thought he could blend in. He could go by and nobody would notice him. But the servants of the king there, they take notice that David's there. And they begin talking and they say, "Hey, isn't this the guy that they wrote the song about? David, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his ten thousands." And when David hears that, he gets scared. And in fact, verse number 12, it says David was sore afraid. And I was thinking about David being afraid for his life, and it took me back to a few times in my life where I was afraid for my life. And it's not a fun place to be, to know that somebody could take your life. And David's in fear for his life here in this situation. And so he's writing this psalm after he's been delivered from this situation. Again, I don't have time to go into that. But I would encourage you to go back to 1 Samuel 21 and read about this. But David was able to escape alive, and he was thankful to God for it. The last thing, David's plea, this is where I want to get to. Look in verse number 6. He says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivered them." David knew where his power and his protection came from. You know, David was in a lot of bad situations while he was running from Saul, and he was no doubt afraid many times. But he knew where his protection came from. He acknowledged his condition in verse number 6. He says, "This poor man cried." And he's referring to himself there. But he's not referring to his monetary state of being poor. He's referring to the fact that he was powerless, that he'd been afflicted. Right. And he knew where he stood. David knew that the Lord was protecting him. He was aware of God's goodness in his life. This is where I want us to just slow down and get this right here. If you didn't get anything else, if you didn't hear anything else I said, this is what I want you to remember. Verse number 8. David issues us a plea. And you know, sometimes I think we just casually read through this verse. I'm guilty. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And we move right along. But I don't think that's how David said it. I think he said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." He is good.
Amen.
And he's pleading with you. Hey, see that the Lord is good. This word taste, it could also mean to judge for yourself. He's saying, you don't have to take my word for it. Just try it and see. Take a little taste for yourself. You know, if you give him a try, I'm sure you'll like him. That's David's plea. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." You know, I don't have to take David's word for it. He doesn't have to convince me. I have seen God's goodness in my life.
Amen.
I have seen it.
Yeah.
I just want to leave you with this challenge, with this thought. Get along with God sometime tonight before you go to bed and reflect on God's goodness in your life. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yeah.
Man, He's good. He's good. Pastor.